Let's open the scriptures together, the Word of God, to Romans chapter 3 tonight. I overheard Romans chapter 3 this afternoon in Springville. Romans chapter 3 will commence in the middle of verse 9. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy, rather 2 Timothy, or chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And then turn back again, this time to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What do these expressions have in common to you and me in our day? Oklahoma City, Virginia Tech, the Twin Towers, Cambodia, Binghamton Community Center, the Green River, Alabama, Germany, the Christmas Eve Santa shooter. What do these names have in common? What bell do these ring? Ted Bundy, the son of Sam, Osama bin Laden, Eric Harris, and Dylan Klebold, Timothy McVeigh, Saddam Hussein, Bruce Pardo, Charles Manson and Susan Atkins, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, massacre and murder and terrorism. Today is the 10th anniversary of the Columbine massacre, when two high schoolers began sending their classmates into eternity at about 10:20 in the morning, when their bombs did not explode in the cafeteria. Does the devil make them do it? Though the devil may indeed instigate mass murders, for he is a murderer from the beginning, man must see his guilt and his danger and flee to Christ before he becomes victimized or before eternity catches up with him. I felt that it was necessary for us to see how we relate as mostly believers, not all believers in this room. How does this affect us in our relationship with people in the world? People say that the devil makes these mass murderers do it. Can we blame everything on the devil? Is it true that therefore man is not responsible for his actions? I say no. The devil's a fallen angel. He's real. He's a tempting sinner and a destroyer of the body. There's no doubt that the devil is a real being. And man is co-inhabiting the earth with evil angels. The Bible teaches a literal devil and literal demons. Right from the very get-go in the life of Christ, we have Satan tempting him for 40 days in the wilderness, attacking the Son of God. Jesus taught a real devil. He told the devil to get hence from him, to leave him. He warned that the devil steals the seed of the Word of God. He rebuked demons. He cast out demons. It's very clear that there were accounts of demon possession, and none of them did any good for the people they possessed. There was insanity. There was infirmity. There was injury. There was intimidation. There was immorality. None of those are any good. There's no good results to being demon possessed or being affected by evil angels. Satan used a snake to fell a woman and eventually her husband and all of us. He is real. He moved Judas to betray Christ, and we assume was very instrumental in causing Judas to commit suicide. The son of Sam, who killed several people in New York City, said that the devil clearly told him to do it. However, that being said, that does not alleviate man of responsibility. But I do want to remind us, there is a devil in this world with many demons that seek to destroy man. We have to face up to the fact as Christians, and I hope that the world faces up to the fact that there's a God in heaven who rules over men. There are angels. Two-thirds of them are innocent, sinless. One-third have fallen with Satan. There is a devil and demons that are terribly evil and getting worse and worse as the days go on. And to add to that wickedness and to add to that scene, there is a fallen human race, which includes every one of us. Outside of Jesus Christ, every human being is woefully sinful and evil. Not as evil as he could be right away, but he is getting worse and worse if he does not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a terrible thing what has happened. And Harris and Klebold wanted to be well known And they have certainly achieved that on earth, but they are in their own place, in Hades. And I suppose that though they may not regret what they've done, they certainly must be anticipating payday and the possible and very definite embarrassment that they will receive when they are brought before the great day of God's judgment. They are still conscious in their souls, though their body has rotted in the grave. It's a terrible thing what has been happening in the world since, especially, and you know, my memory isn't that good, but I don't remember so many massacres before that date in April of 1999. There have been just a flood of massacres and terrible events to take place since 1999. And though there were other certainly exhibitions of such evil before then, the scripture is indicating that it will get worse and worse. Perilous or fierce times are predicted. And especially we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men will be without any affection at all. Who do you think does instigate them? And are they not acting like their father, the devil? But having said that, the devil will not give account for man's sinful thoughts, words, and actions like these murderous rampages or massacres. Man who has fallen is capable of great evil. The scripture tells us the devil will not give account for you and me. Every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God. Now, the devil will give account for certainly his actions of instigation, but he's not going to be primarily responsible for the 13 people that were killed at Columbine by those two murderers and all those that were injured and others that gave their lives beyond Columbine, like the one mother whose daughter was permanently paralyzed and couldn't take it any longer, went into a gun store and sent herself into eternity. Those men will give account for that. God will judge everyone according to his works. But we have seen how man is fallen and capable of terrible ruin. You can't read the scriptures without seeing that. You see the very first person that was born on earth was a murderer. We see what sin works in people like Goliath and Judas. Man has original sin, as Romans teaches. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and that sin is pointing back to the fall. Not actual sins in that text. Romans 5:12 is pointing to original sin. We are from the get-go, from the root, sinners. If the root is sinful, then the fruit will be sinful. If man has original sin, he will have actual sins if he is born and he lives into the world. Infants have original sin. They have to be saved in order to go to heaven. They have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. The Lord talked about every idle word that men shall speak. If idle words will be judged, and idle means that which is without much effort. In other words, accidental words, so to speak. Men that aren't careful with their speech. Men that are very flippant with their sins. If that is going to be judged, how much more will every purposeful word be given account for? These murderers will pay now and or forever for what they have done. It's a terrible thing what these people... We were listening to someone who, again, without any natural affection, took a 13-year-old's life and buried her like an animal in a woods. And years later, Ed Rehm was brought to justice in Michigan. And for some reason, he led the authorities to this poor girl's grave. And they unearthed it, and all they found were some bones and a jaw that was intact and her purse with a couple of cassette tapes in it. And they were finally able to lay to rest a few remains of their dear little girl that was lured to this man's van. She was at 13 years old, dating a boy who was his son. And he lied to her to say that he was having a surprise birthday party for his son. This goes on and on. People walking into, a man walking, who had lost his job in an Oklahoma post office, and he takes it out on his boss and his fellow employees. Looking at all the pictures of bright young youth who were attending Virginia Tech, blown into eternity. Ted Bundy, deceiving so many, they're saying over possibly 90 women, by deceiving them, pretending to be injured or needing help. Man's going to give account for his actions. But may I present to us tonight that there's going to be indirect guilt from society? Indirect guilt of society? You think of two things when you think of what God is going to judge at the end. Those who have rejected the restraints of sin. The rejection of restraints to sin is going to be a factor at the judgment day. You see, for instance, in the Old Testament, a man whose ox was wont to gore, if it killed, meant death to the owner. If there was not, in other words, there was indirect guilt that was involved. They were to restrain that which harmed mankind. And the Lord has set up restraints in the human race to at least lessen the actions, the occurrences of sin. Scripture is sharp and powerful and reproves sin. And man wants nothing to do with Scripture. Society wants to put the Bible out. It's taken the Bible out of schools. It's taken the Scripture out of churches. It's removed the impact of the Word of God in children's lives. You know, when our country began, young people learned to read by using the Bible. Conscience is a restraint. And Romans 1 tells us that they don't want to educate their conscience with the knowledge of God anymore. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they want to educate their conscience with a godless message, with atheism and agnosticism. Christians are a restraint in society. The Lord said, "Ye are the light of the world and the salt of the earth." And what has man done to Christians in the centuries gone by? He has hated them. He has killed Christians. They have been persecuted and massacred. Churches are lights in a community. And yet so many have become small churches. People don't want to frequent them. They want them done away with. How many church buildings have become buildings that have become stores and antique places and other kinds of businesses. Men have rejected the restraints of sin. They're going to give account. May I say that there is indirect guilt When the scripture is taken away and the conscience is not educated in the truth, and Christians are maligned and dismissed, and churches are becoming rarer and smaller, where the Lord says, despise not the day of small things. It's a fact that most Bible-believing churches are small, if you compare all the Bible-believing churches in the world. What does that tell you? Well, obviously we would say, well, at this time the Lord has not exploded with conversions. But it also tells you other things. There are backsliders who frequently miss the services of God, where it says that they forsake the assembling of themselves together. It's their manner for whatever reason. The world doesn't find it fashionable to come and hear the Word of God anymore. They're rejecting the restraints of sin. And they're accepting the stimuli and propellants of sin. How can we not see this in our society? Man is not only rejecting the restraints, he is accepting the propellants of sin. Evolution is a propellant of sin. Sees man as just the next in line with the beasts. The survival of the fittest. Should we be surprised, therefore, that man suggests euthanasia and abortion and genocide? Is it a surprise that Hitler felt that the Jews should be exterminated because he believed in Darwinism? Pornography has been an unprecedented stimulus to lust and adultery and fornication and murder. Ted Bundy and the Son of Sam, who both said that they were converted before or recently. Ted Bundy was put to death, I believe, in 1989. The Son of Sam is still alive. But both of them said the major factor in their wicked lives was pornography. They treat people as a thing. And yet, we have sanctioned pornography in stores and on the internet. Isn't that indirect, and am I even being kind, direct guilt upon our society and upon our governments? For what is going on out there, people are saying, why do these people kill in the high schools and kill in the community centers and kill young girls and bury them without even in a bag or in a box? And yet we have stores like down here that sell such smut and present people as things to look at rather than souls made in the image of God. And we wonder why we have massacres. We teach our children that we came from apes, and who knows what will be next. We're not made in the image of God. We're not creatures of a creator. That we've come, it's the survival of the fittest. So let me walk over you and survive. Drugs have had a huge impact. Hallucination and exaggerated confidence, false confidence is produced by people on drugs. A major influence when Charles Manson ordered his slaves to go and murder Sharon Tate and others, though they didn't know she lived there. Just a sad course of events that somebody who lived where Sharon Tate lived double-crossed Charles Manson, and that represented evil establishment, so he sent them to that address, not knowing who was there knowing that the man had double-crossed and no longer lived there, and six people, including her little baby. She was 8.5 months pregnant. Went into eternity. Polytheism. We accept the propellants of sin. Along the way, they're going to adopt a God that is not kind and benevolent. They're going to adopt a God that does not judge eventually in a very humane way, in a sense. Is it any surprise that gods like Allah have been imagined and produced, that tell their disciples to go and plow airplanes into buildings and tie bombs to their bodies and walk among innocent people and blow themselves and others to smithereens? The untold influence of media. The media of violence and lust and hatred and greed and blasphemy in the theater and on the video games. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. It's very clear that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were affected by vicious violence that was promoted on video games. Man has accepted the stimuli and they sell it in stores. Gothic, grotesque, fierce-looking beasts on the covers of video games. And they're sold at will to young kids. And you wonder why young children have no affection? It says that, what's the quote again in 2 Timothy? That's why I warn us that media and violence and lust and greed that people see over and over again on TV and on the computer and in the theaters, you wonder why people are insensitive. Insensitive to sin, insensitive to people. There's no... What does the text say there in 2 Timothy 3? Just quoted it, but it just escaped me. Without natural affection. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. And I think there's other descriptions in Romans chapter 1. They're giving up the vile affections. Burning in their lusts. They're malicious. Murder. Haters of God. Despiteful. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. There it is again. Without natural affection. Implacable. That is, they're hard. They're unforgiving. There's no mercy. There's no emotion. They're just neutral and vicious. Do we wonder how this media, and you don't see people weeping anymore in prayer over sin, or weeping when they read the newspaper and people have been put to death, or kids have been buried, and you know, people have been murdered, and terrible inventions of evil, and it's just business as usual. Folks, we have to really step back and say, can we weep with those who weep? Are we burdened for sinners who are perishing? Do we have a rock for a heart? Is it because we're spending so much time looking at these things that are vicious and watching things that desensitize us to the truth and to the needs of others. The Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept at the grave of Lazarus. He wept when people died. He wept when people were burdened. He wept when people were hurting. He cared. And there's a challenge to our generation and the generations that are below us. It's time for us to choose things that are excellent and to be careful what we read and what we watch. And I need that care too. Because as I'm bringing up these massacres and mentioning these people, I have to be careful when I read about these issues that I don't become callous and look at them merely as facts and historical happenings and not feel burdened watching that father and mother weep at the final realization that she's dead. They held out hope that maybe, and that one brother kept saying every time somebody called and he had friends that would do hoaxes, he thought, maybe, is this? And he would say, are you Cindy? Are you Cindy? Thinking maybe she'd run away and one of these days she's going to come back. So the parents wanted to know if she was dead so they could bury her, but in the back of their mind, in the depths of their hearts, they were hoping she wasn't. That maybe she'd come back one day. And how can you not watch that and feel for these parents? Yes, Cindy was very unwise to not let her father know that she was going to get in a van with a 37-year-old man. But do we not all make foolish decisions? And I say this, and not many young people here tonight, but people watching, oh, don't despise your parents' concern and their desire to watch over you and plead that you don't do the wrong thing and keep you from taking that step that could be a fatal step in your life. Watch out for that person. Keep accountability. Keep your phone there. Be careful when people are prowling. Be careful when people hang around. The devil, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, is a roaring lion walking about. He's stalking, seeking whom he may devour. Don't ever let up on your guard regarding yourself and your wife and your children and your brothers and sisters in the Lord and your neighbor. Not just human prowlers, but the wicked prowler, the devil who wants man to procrastinate, to dismiss the truth and eventually perish. Let's do all we can to protect people physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. We are our brother's keeper. In this church, we're our keepers. Watch out for each other. We're not busybodies, but we are one another's keeper. This is a wicked world. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful of the music and the lyrics. Be careful that you stay close to the Lord and are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and confess our sins every day. Does the devil make them do it? He's a wicked being. He tempts people to sin. He's up to no good. But man is as sinful as the devil. Fallen man is damned as much as fallen angels. God prepared the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. But man is going to go there without Christ if he dies unsaved. The Bible tells me and you in Revelation that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And from what I can tell, Jesus said that the lake of fire was prepared before the fall of man, after the fall of demons. And it is also a place where man will go. Beware of Satan and beware of men, the Scripture says. And lastly, this in particular is to believers. The devil is one of many demons and demon-like men that are more formidable than godless sinners and prayerless saints. Man is vulnerable unless he seeks God through Christ. We are going to be victims of evil beings if we are not close to the Lord. Beware of these evil beings by believing and beholding the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8 makes it very clear that we are vulnerable unless we stay close to Christ. And it starts with accountability. You see that? We're not islands. We can't survive alone. It talks about elders and their responsibility of oversight over the church, but then elders need the accountability with those that are they're overseeing. We're just sinners saved by grace and sheep too. That's why it goes on to say, "Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." None of us are beyond accountability. And it's that accountability that keeps us in check. That's a factor in us preparing to stand against the devil and evil. For it goes on to say, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Here's another reason why we cannot be isolationists. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking literally someone to devour, whom resist, and this is all in the plural, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, see, if you stay close to the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You see, the unsaved are a prey, but the backslidden are a prey to the devil. Sin is a handle that the devil grips. But the godly are a foe to the devil, whom resist steadfast in the faith of the gospel. That's the idea. That's our defense. Sent for the defense of the gospel. Be sensitive, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about. He stalks. And if he stalks, his demons stalk. And wicked men and women stalk. The adulteress is on the stalk too. The lion of the tribe of Judah is stronger than the roaring lion on earth. Friend, we need Christ. If you're not saved, you're already a victim. If you're not saved tonight, you're already vulnerable. You need the Lord to forgive your sins and to cleanse your heart, to give you the armor that's needed to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the devil. Brother and sister, we've got to stay close to the Lord. See how He attacked the Christ, a sinless man, threw everything at Him. Satan succeeded to fell a godly man like David. Don't ever think that we are incapable of falling. David was a man of God who sang unto the Lord daily, was a prayerful man, but he let down his guard at least two occasions, and it cost him and his family dearly. When he numbered Israel and when he fell to Bathsheba, it affected the nation and affected his family. Satan tempts. He didn't succeed to fell Christ for our salvation. He didn't prevent the crucifixion or the atonement, did he? He didn't prevent the resurrection and the ascension. He won't prevent the salvation of the elect. But may it be that he will not prevent us from pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, he won't prevent us from going into all the world and preaching the gospel. He won't prevent us from looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We read in the bulletin this morning, John Greer's challenge to us, which is found in Hebrews chapter 12. And it is very true. The devil wants us to be wearied and faint in our minds, to be discouraged, and to give up. And what's the solution? To consider Him. We've got to keep Christ before our eyes. He will give us strength. He will give us a heart. He will protect us from evil. He will keep us loving sinners and saints. He will help us to forgive one another. He will keep the gospel before us. He will keep eternity in view. We've got to stay close to the Lord. Fathers, make sure we open the Bible in our homes. Mothers, all of us in our prayer closets, stay close to the Lord. Satan is real and wicked men are real. Satan won't prevent Christ's second coming. Friend, escape hell, or you indeed will become a victim of terrible massacre in the end. Escape cowardice when a gun one day may be pointed at your head and mine. I want to be able to stand and stare such a person in the eye and say, you must be born again. You can blow me away, but you can't blow salvation out of me. You can send me into eternity, but you're sending me to heaven. But what about you, friend? It's safest to be in the middle of God's will. It's safest to have a clear conscience and a clean heart in the midst of the greatest danger. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and against the wiles of wicked men. The devil didn't make them do it. He instigates, he encourages. They're going to give account one day for what they've done. Let us be instrumental in steering our families and our brothers and sisters away from dangers as much as possible. And teaching and instructing and encouraging one another so that if in the providence of God, in the will of God, that our loved ones face these kinds of dangers, they can do so with a clear conscience, with an evangelistic heart, and with courage to stand and rebuke the assailant and plead with that person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. sad anniversary today. More massacres to come. But thank God that we have a Savior who's in heaven, who's praying for us, and protecting our families. Let's stay close to Him. May He use us to point many others to His saving grace and to the hope of eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, help us to draw near to Thee. Lord, we fear to be far from Thee. Lord, we read what Peter did when he was walking afar off. We read what David did when he should have been in battle. O God, we pray that we would know Thy will and we would be doing it. Lord, work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And O God, we pray that in every case that we would make the wisest decision. Lord, that our young people would make the decision to say no, to not walk into a snake's nest on purpose. Lord, we know there are times that we walk into temptation. Even Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. But, oh God, may we not walk into temptation on purpose, thinking that we can handle it. Lord, we ask Thee to guide us. Help us to know how to direct our children. Help us, Lord, to discern between what is best. As You said, choose things that are excellent. We pray as our young people come home this summer that they would choose things that are excellent, that tend to the edification of their souls and the honor of the Lord in all of their choices. And there will be temptations, that, Lord, that You would give them victory. And You would help us to help them. We ask, Lord, that we would be our brother's keeper. Keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of Your glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Lord, save sinners from a devil's relationship and from a devil's hell. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to work today as the Sabbath comes to a close. Bless the preaching of Your word. Lord, we pray that You'd keep us from evil this week. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Where we sin, forgive us, Lord. And let us not walk back into that trap. You said, Lord, in the psalm, let them not return again to their folly. Lord Jesus, You said to the woman, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Help us, like Job and like the psalmist, determine in our hearts that we will make a covenant with God to not behold a maid, that we will set no wicked thing before our eyes, to hate the thing that turns us aside. It will not cling to us. Lord, for those that are afar off, backslidden, Lord, we pray that they would see that they are victims, that they are vulnerable, that they are in danger. We pray, Lord, that You would rescue them. You'd use us, use others, use Your word, use their conscience. Put providential roadblocks in their way. Oh God, do something, we pray. So many are still walking afar off, denying Thee, blending in with the world. Lord, rescue them, we pray, that the world might be put in fear, that there is a living God, that there is a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. We pray, Lord, that the church would rise up in this day and be a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, Father, we pray that we would not let down our guard. Be sensitive to Thee. Be sober and watchful of evil. Please, Lord, help us in these last days, and as we see the day approaching, to be faithful, to persevere to the end, to endure to the end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.